churches. Actually, I was pastoring for about 25 years without much of a break. A wonderful congregation in Saskatoon and Steinbeck Mennonite Church, where we also felt very loved and cared for and had gifts for years. It was just time for a break, and so decided that we'd take a year off and visiting churches. Steinbeck's only so big, and so I know all the pastors, we know a lot of people. We thought we'll visit around and just enjoy the year worshiping different places. And it was great. But it didn't take very long before we began to notice that something was missing. So try and think of all of that. Maybe it was familiarity. We've been part of the conference church forever. We know who the speakers are, the leaders of the conference, and the issues, and the hymn books, and the missionaries. You can hear better if I speak from there.
I don't do well behind pulpits. And so we thought maybe it's familiarity. But it's more than that. It's more than just who you know. Now, familiarity, there's nothing wrong with that. That's how most of our churches got started. Steinbeck Mennonite, as North Kildonan Mennonite Church, began with the people coming in the 20s. And they got together and started worshiping. They had the same history, the same struggles, the same language, ate the same food. And so it was good to get together to worship. But it was more than that. Luke chapter 3. Jesus is talking to the Pharisees, and they come to him, and they say, we're the people of God. And he says, seriously, you think that? And he said, yeah, we're children of Abraham. And he says, you don't have a clue, do you? It takes more than the culture, the ethnic, the blood to make you part of God's family. It's more than that. And it was more than that for us. Well, maybe it was participation, we thought. We've both been very involved in church forever. I was teaching Sunday school as a teenager, involved in youth, and 30 years as a pastor, whatever they do. And Carol was involved in music since she was, I think she played at my sister's wedding when she was 13. But as we began to think about that, I realized that participation has a nasty third cousin who's often not too far away called control. Have you heard of that? It starts innocently enough. It starts by saying there's a need. We can plug in, and so you help out a little bit, you give a little money, and pretty soon you're participating in the program, and pretty soon you're running it, and all of a sudden somebody says, I don't think we'll do it that way, and you go, what? After all I've put into this, that's my pulpit pounding for the sermon. After all I've put into this, you better appreciate it. And so I had to sort of slow down and think a little bit. There's a wonderful story told about Mother Teresa. Now all my books are in boxes, so I'm just going by memory here. And the story goes that Mother Teresa and the Sisters of Mercy were working in Calcutta, and the hospital had a generator to run the thing, and it wasn't working well. And so some wealthy person came along and said, I will buy a new generator and fix your problems. And she said, we don't need a new generator. And he said, well, clearly you do. This thing isn't working. No, she said, we're fine. And the guy was insulted, and he walks away in a huff. And he gets to thinking, you know, she really is doing some fine work. And maybe he did take that a little personally, and he would like to participate, so he goes back. And he says to her, listen, Mother Teresa, really appreciate the work you're doing. I can't participate like you do with the poor. What I can do is help out financially. So listen, if there's ever a need, just give me a call. I'd love to help out. She says, well, now that you mentioned it, we could use a generator. Control. And so as we step back, we realize that there was a certain amount of participation for both of us, and maybe a little bit of control that I was struggling with missing. But it was more than that. Maybe it was theology, good, solid theology, good Anabaptist theology. Now, I want to be quick to say that other traditions have amazing theology and they do great work. These are the glasses God has given me, I feel, and I am a convinced Anabaptist. And it's important to me, it's important to know that God created us in love. And that when we messed up, God sent Jesus in love, John 3:16, to show us how to live, to die for us, to rise again, to free us from our addiction to sin, to help us to refocus on who God is, to allow us to be open to the Holy Spirit moving us in new ways. It's important for me to think that what we believe is more than just words, it's action, and so service is a part of our theology. And that peace isn't just an tack-on, peace and justice are an integral part of what we believe, of the message of Jesus. It's important to me to know that we are congregational, which means that the guy standing at the front with the microphone doesn't make all the decisions. He's the conductor, and the congregation works together to struggle through issues. But it's more than just right belief. You may have heard our provincial education minister recently put out a bill, Bill 18. You heard of that? We sure have in Steinbeck, I'll tell you. And you've heard of Steinbeck because of it, I know that too. Well, some people who are friends of mine say, yes, we've got a bill on bullying, we need to support Nancy Ellen, let's make this thing happen. And others are saying, whoa, 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 whoa. The bill is out of whack, we need to have that thing balanced before we go, so we need to stand in opposition to Nancy Ellen. And that's all fine. We all have a mind and we can work this stuff through. Here's where the problem comes in. The way we interact with each other. And I've seen people act in ways which were disrespectful, unkind, rude. You can add to that list. Now here's the question. In the name of right belief, these people could act in a way which was out of keeping with the character of Jesus. How does that work? Does it? And so it's more than simply right belief. We noticed something as we went to the various churches. People would come in happy. And they hugged each other and said hi and went and sat down. And then the service began and, well, to be really blunt, some of them were fairly mediocre. You know, you go in there and say, where exactly is a preacher going with this thing? You might be saying that too, but be quiet about it, please. And the singing, oh my goodness, can we ratchet this thing up a little bit? And you know what happened? People sat down, they loved each other, obviously, they came to worship, and there they are busy taking notes when I don't know what the guy's saying. What are you talking about? And they are blessed, and they're worshiping. Community was happening. Community was happening. Amazing. And we walked out of there saying, that's what we've been missing. That. If you want to read the story, it comes from Acts chapter 2. We heard part of that in the call to worship. The stories of Peter preaching a sermon, not the greatest sermon in the world. And Peter is preaching, and all of these people are coming for the Passover. They're coming into town, and they're Jews. They are, there's familiarity, they all have the same roots. They're part of the diaspora. The people who have moved away years ago, probably because of business, are coming back. They are committed. They are involved. Some of them have saved up their whole life to come to this one Passover service. And they have right belief. They're Jews. And they're in Jerusalem. What is more home to the Jews than Jerusalem? And yet they walk into town. Everything is right. And something is missing. Something isn't there. What is it? And then they hear this fisherman preaching. And they are open. And they go down and they listen, and it just kind of hits them between the eyes, and they say, this is what we've been missing. Something's going on here. This is home. And they say, what do we do? Peter says, repent. Recognize where you are and what you need to change. Be baptized. Plug in. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And you know what happened? They repented, and they were baptized, and they were bowled over by the Holy Spirit. And then flip down to verse 42. It begins to say what they were doing. They looked. They were studying the apostles' teachings, studying the Bible, praying, worshiping, singing. Man, I think they had choir robes on. They were eating together, had communion together. They were helping out people who were poor. They were having community. And the people who had come for the Passover, who were there, part of the 3,000, said, "This is home. This is home." And the sad reality is, in some of our churches, people go all their lives and they never home. They go because they don't know what else to do. But that just hasn't hit them yet. They may have the ethnicity and the willingness to plug in, and even the theology is right, but something hasn't grabbed them. Something hasn't connected. And what happened here connected. And then look what happens at the very end of that passage. It says people were added to their number. Why? They put a sign outside that said, "First Real Church. Church of the Bible, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, all of the good things, come on in." It's called centripetal mission. People were just vacuumed in because something so good was going on there. See, people stuck their head in the door, and just like Carol and I saw in some of those churches, they saw people who loved each other. And they saw people who were willing to struggle together. They worked through hard times, they supported each other, they encouraged each other. And they said, "That's what we want." In our world, everybody's looking for home. We're looking for home. We all are. And for a church to begin to reach out, what do we need to do? Well, what did the church in Acts do? Of course, they went out and they brought people in, to be sure. But the biggest draw was an openness to people coming through the door. They felt embraced. And I heard some of those stories yesterday. Amazing. People coming here and feeling welcomed. That's the church. That's what it should be like. Somebody asked me this morning, "What do you think about youth?" Youth are nice. But in the church, youth should feel like they belong, that there's a place for them. Like if they're missing, somebody will miss them. And so part of the way that we need to deal with inviting people in is just being authentic. Love the living daylights out of each other and allow the Spirit of God to work within us. I like the way that Peter deals with this in 1 Peter chapter 2, the passage Brian read earlier. He says, if you go down to verse 9, it says, you are a chosen people. You belong. You've been adopted in a holy nation, a royal priesthood, I think is next. A royal priesthood. You are something special. And you, North Kildonan Mennonite Church, are something special. You are a holy people. You've changed. When the Holy Spirit gets a hold of us, we change. We become more and more like Jesus. Paul talks about being the fragrance of Christ. How does that happen? Incrementally. Little by little, we change, because that's what happens in the context of the church. God works in us and we become something very special. That's home. That's what Carol and I were missing as we floated from church to church. The churches were fine. But we saw something going on that we had experienced in churches prior that we missed. And so that's something that we continue to look for. A place to call home. We need that. We've experienced some of that here. It's been wonderful to see the openness as we've looked at your history and how God has worked in through this church. It's obvious that you have been home to many people, that you have been a congregation. And if God does lead us together, we'll look forward to celebrating being the people of God together. And if not, we know that the one who has worked in you these 75 years will continue to work within you, helping you to develop into people God is calling you to be until he comes. Amen.